Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
This is the Balkan Adventures Podcast, everyday life and experiences in the Western Balkans.
This podcast relies entirely on supporters who help to keep us sponsor and advert free through our community at patreon.com. You can pledge as little as $1 a month with early access to content and free giveaways. You will find a banner to our Patreon community on our website at balkanadventures.co. Thanks for helping us develop the podcast.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Balkan Adventures podcast with me, David Bailey. And in this episode, we're talking about Balkan beer. We're not talking about the beer that you get in a bottle in a coffee bar or restaurant, or even the good old Tochno, the draft beer. We're not talking traditional local Bosnian beer, but rather craft beer, which is now being produced in a range of microbreweries across the whole of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the region more widely. I catch up with a microbrewery that's not been long in existence, not too far away from where I live, near the town of Laktaši in northern Bosnia-Herzegovina. I'm catching up in this episode with Nikola Galic, the owner of the Gorstak Brewery in Glamočani, which is a small village between Laktaši and Banja Luka, to find out more about what it means to be a craft brewer in the Western Balkans. But first, let's find out a little bit more about Nikola himself.
I'm from Banja Luka. I was born there. I attended university there. I lived there. So, yeah, I'm from Banja Luka.
But we're not sat in Banja Luka today. We're sat outside in you know, we're pretty rural at the moment for a Banja Luka boy.
Yeah, this is maybe halfway from Banja Luka to Laktaši. Yeah, I found this space and I decided it might be great for a small brewery. And yeah, since then I'm here.
You had this dream. We were talking a little bit earlier. You said, you know, you were a hobby brewer and now you've turned it into the start of a commercial concern. Let's go back. With the way that Balkan culture is, that, you know, craft beers aren't from the culture, you know, rakia's from the culture, wine is from the culture, and beer is sort of like traditionally mass-produced, with every city having its own sort of brand. How did you get involved with craft beer?
Well, I always liked to drink beer, and one day I found out that it was possible to make beer at home. And I was astounded by that fact and started to dig deep into the books, into internet forums, started to meet with other people who also liked to make beer at home. And it was initially only a few of us from Banja Luka. And all this started at the end of 2014. And by occasion, I went to Las Vegas that year in the January 2015 for the first time as a translator for a friend of mine at a fair. I purchased the first pieces of home brewing kits there, and the rest I finished here and started to make my first beer by the summer of 2015. And the moment I tried my first glass of beer, I knew that this was the only thing that I wanted to do till the rest of my life. And from that day on, I tried to improve every new beer and try to learn all about the process. I read maybe 10,000 pages of all kinds of books and all stuff about brewing. Now I'm living my dream, you know, that I started a year ago maybe. I sold my apartment, I invested all in this idea, and I'm quite happy how it's going right now so far.
You know, when you were in Las Vegas and you said you bought your first kit, when I was in the States, I saw that they used to sell like large boxes, and in it you would have all the sort of ingredients that you need, and they called it a starter kit, and a bit like one of these white plastic bin type containers. Yeah. Is that how you started?
Not actually. I bought only a few pieces of equipment there, but I started all grain brewing from the very first batch. I didn't want to go into extracts. It's too easy, I think. I improvised with other pots and barrels used for making sauerkraut here. These were initial fermenters, and later on I turned these freezers into fermentation chambers with controlled temperature environment, so I could get the you know, consistent fermentation temperatures and results in the end. So it was a lot of improvisation along the way, and I had a lot of help from other guys from all over the country and the countries near BNH, Croatia and Serbia. We went to visit many of their craft breweries, craft beer festivals. These were all occasions when I learned something new each time, and all of that helped me become what I am now, a craft brewer from Banja Luka.
You said that, you know, you started, this was a hobby for you. So when you got into the hobby stage, was it even then that you had it in your mind that, hey, I can make so much more out of this?
Yeah, I have always been a dreamer, and I always believed that I can achieve something if I desire it from the heart. Time passed, and this idea turned out to be becoming a reality.
When you say you're a dreamer, and I think there should be more dreamers in the Balkans personally, you sold your apartment, you invested everything into this. You've got to agree with me that when you talk to other people, to most people, there's huge negativity in the country. There's huge jealousy. There's, what is it, the phrase here? People spit on you. There's almost this schadenfreude about, ha, how long will it be before he fails? Not, ha, how long is it going to be before he's successful? And this affects people, some in such a profound way. You've been doing this now, and it seems that you don't care about the haters, you don't care about the negativity, but it must have been a bit difficult at times.
Well, that's true, and I always try to surround myself with good, normal, positive people who will always tell me if there's something wrong, okay, tell me, and what would you do to make it right? Don't just, you know, criticize it without offering idea how to solve it. Yes, there is a lot of negativity in the country, and you know, people are just too much overwhelmed by the news, by the media, by all the politics and all that. And I think that's just a big waste of time and energy, and life's too short to be bothered by those things. You must try to you know, be good with everyone else around you, and if someone is trying to achieve something, okay, support him, try to help him, don't make it more difficult for him. If you don't like what he's doing, okay, turn around and go the other way, leave him be. And that's the way I think. And I mean, people's opinion is important to me, but I'm aware of the fact that we are not all the same, you know. Everyone has the right to think on their own. So far, as for my beers, our brewery beers, reactions were very positive, and I encountered nothing but support, really, from everybody, from both, from Banja Luka, from Mostar, from Sarajevo, from all the cities. It's quite different than the general perception.
The name of your brewery, your microbrewery, is Gorstak. I hope I pronounced that right. And that means Highlander. Banja Luka lies in the plain between Middle Bosnia, the mountainous region of Bosnia, all the way up through Croatia, up until the next mountain ranges, which border onto Hungary. So a flat part of the Western Balkans. So why did you call it Highlander?
Well, there are actually mountains near Banja Luka, mountains of Manjača and Kozara, and this is where my grandfathers came from. So they were, true Highlanders, people who were tough, who were honest, who lived in harmony with everybody else around them, and sought nothing but what they could make and create by themselves. Sorry, this name is a kind of a tribute to them and to their lives and to everything I've taught from them. Also, I'm a big nature lover, and I like to spend time outdoors in the nature and so on. So Highlander is the right name for for a beer made by, you know, by this brewery.
How does the family feel about it, that you've actually taken some of the family roots and you now got it firmly entrenched into your business?
Yeah, well, they support me, and they are glad that I'm doing this, and they were maybe scared in the beginning, and you know, didn't believe much that this could be actually a reality, but in time, you know, they showed a lot of support and understanding for everything I'm doing, and it's great. My grandfathers aren't alive now, but I think they would be glad too. So this is in their name.
When we sat down this morning, even though it was before 10 o'clock, and you said, would you like to have a beer? And I went, why not? And there were four types on offer, and you were talking about IPAs. I didn't know, even though I'm British, I didn't know too much about the history of IPA, but you've already researched that and you know more about it than I do, which I feel is pretty, pretty cool. India Pale Ale, hundreds of years old, a beer that was designed to be shipped out to the farthest reaches of what was then the British Empire, which would then be turned into local beer, initially for the troops to enjoy. How hard has it been to recreate these original styles of beer, or which are now called craft beers, basically? I think it's the foundation for it. Here in a culture that you might not have the right ingredients, the right temperatures. There must have been a lot of obstacles for you.
Well, actually, thankfully, I'm not the first one that started this hobby here. There were some other microbreweries in the country, and some of them obtained all the necessary raw materials you needed to make beer, so it wasn't a problem at all. And of course, now I have access to Yakima Valley hops, you know, freshest, best hops in the world, Slovenian hops also, and malts from Germany, from Austria, from England also. And we don't have any problems with obtaining all the ingredients, but it's always a challenge to try to recreate something that was made 200 or 300 years ago, because no one exactly knows how that beer might have tasted back then. We have all the assumptions, but we have never tried it. It's quite challenging, but it's possible, and many breweries are doing a great job in doing just that. I'm going to try my best at English IPAs and at many other spiced beers, many beers with made with some plants and instead of hops. And I also make mead, honey wine, and this is still a hobby, and it's maybe it will be a part of this brewery in the future. It's basically honey fermented from the wild yeasts within them and from wild yeasts from fruits or tree bark or anything that you might find. It's also very exciting to be a part of that and to be someone who is reliving this old tradition of making beer and making mead, and it's some kind of a way to go back to the roots, you know, to try to be part of the movement of people who try to produce as much as they can by themselves, by their hands. I also cultivate a garden. I eat my own vegetables that I grow. I also grow hops for some experiments, you know, in beer. Yeah, I try to be as much as independent as I can from all the mass-produced foods and drinks and all that, you know, self-sufficient.
You're alluding there that you could be, you know, you're developing, you know, your own hops now. Bosnia hasn't, as far as I'm aware, hasn't been a country that hops naturally come from. Or yeah, I might be wrong there. But you don't normally hear about Bosnian hops being used in the brewing process, or have I got that wrong?
Hops are not grown here commercially, unfortunately, but there's a lot of wild hops everywhere, anywhere you go. You know, in Banja Luka, in the very city center, you can find hop vines climbing up a building or something like that. Especially in the areas in the countryside also. I still haven't used them for brewing. I have them actually in the freezer right there. I harvested them, and I'm eager to see what I'm going to get from them. But it's possible, you know, to grow hops here, to make barley malt to grow for beer, but it's not done commercially, unfortunately. So we have to import all these ingredients.
Is that an expensive part of the operation, the import of the ingredients to create the final product?
Yes, of course. I think it would be best if we had domestic production of these raw materials, and in the end, beer would be cheaper, you know, for the customer. And we could also make many new interesting beers that couldn't be made anywhere else, because every region has its own characteristics, every climate, every soil, every amount of rainwater or snow, all that influences the taste and flavors and aromas and the characteristics of that particular hop or barley or whatever is used.
We're sat in your microbrewery, which is, I have to say, quite small. You've got machines, I think, for dealing with the grain. There are these wonderful aluminium
fermenters.
You've got fridges that you've adapted, a hand labeler, and racking with loads and loads of bottles of product. And, of course, the traditional wood burner, which adds that certain thing to being here. You said that to me earlier that this is a one-man operation at the moment, with some occasional help from friends. How difficult is it to handle the stress of now running a business on your own, to deal with every part of that from, I don't know how many bottles are behind you, there must be a good few hundred.
Around 900 litres, that's about nearly 2,000 bottles.
So 2,000 bottles have been, you know, individually capped and prepared. The stress must be phenomenal.
Yes, where we are organized as an agricultural cooperative. There's five of us, but I'm mostly in charge of the entire process, from the production to sales to distribution to label designs and everything. So I get occasional help from them when it's time to bottle beer and to label it, but all the other aspects are, you know, my business.
Talk us through the process of, you know, from when you get these bags of malt and hops that we can see down here next to the your white fermenting barrels. What happens next?
Comes here to the malt mill. I mill the grains, and at the same time I prepare water for brewing the next day. For each style, I prepare a special water profile, you know, by partially filtering water in combination with the tap water and with the addition of some minerals that are already in water by naturally, but you just want to change their the amount of them for each individual style. For example, if you'd like to emphasize hop bitterness and aroma, you might want to have a bigger concentration of sulfates than chlorides in water. So that's the kind of things that I would do in the preparation. On the brewing day, there's the standard process of production. You have mashing when you mix the milled grains and water, and you keep it in a certain temperature range for a certain amount of time. Then you transfer it to boil kettle where it boils, fresh wort, boils. You add hops. Later you cool it and you transfer it to the fermenter. You add oxygen to wort, add yeast, and it remains there for 2 or 3 weeks for fermentation and maturation. After that you have bottling, and beer still has to remain around 2 weeks in bottles, up to a month, before it goes to sale. So this whole process lasts for 20 to 40 or 50 days, depending on the style.
Here, this looks like an absolutely pristinely clean environment. Places like this don't stay clean on their own. It takes a lot of effort. So not only do you have your thing that you love, but there's a lot of the, if I can say, mundane, boring stuff about keeping it absolutely clean, because this is for public consumption. That must take a lot of your time as well.
Yeah, that's the worst part of the business. At the end of the brew day, which lasts around 9 to 10 hours, you have to clean everything, and that's quite a mess. And you have to get inside the boil kettle and to scrub all that stuff, and it's really time consuming. Also, you have to clean the fermenters before making a new batch, right before putting the wort inside. So yeah, you have to pay attention to hygiene, because it's crucial to avoid infections and beer spoilage and all that, because beer is very sensitive. I think it's the most difficult beverage that man can make, because there are around 100 different factors affecting one beer at the same time, and you have to learn to manage all of them and to control them so they could produce the product that you want to have,
What's it been like to market it, especially that you're not an expert on it? So that's been another experience, a massive experience, a massive leap into the unknown for you.
Well, I use all the free assets I can get, because we don't have much of a budget, for paying some advertisement and all that. I realize that media are craving for positive, for good news, because they don't have anything, they don't have much to write about except for, everyday politics, and this politician said that, the other one replied that, and all that crap. And news like this are very, very popular and sought for. So I use that, and I just, they need good news, positive news. I need media attention, and so it's a nice way of cooperation. And also, I rely much on social networks, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. These proved as very successful tools for reaching new people that you might not meet or might not be able to talk to personally.
The positivity that you have is quite astounding. What are your plans for the future? There are 4 products on the market now. You have your home brewing set up where you try out the new recipes. Everybody, and you said that you were a dreamer. So dream, and I like dreamers. I like to dream as well. When you dream, either 1 or 2 steps ahead. So without giving too much away, because I don't know, maybe somebody else is listening and wants to do the same thing, which wouldn't be a bad thing. It's stimulation. Nikola's dream?
My dream is to build a small brewery in the countryside, 5 minutes from here, in the village of Jakupovci. This was initial idea, actually, but it proved that this investment was as double as I planned initially, so I didn't have the money to create this also. But yeah, that's some kind of a long-term goal, to build a brewery on my own in the countryside and to present it, you know, for tourists and everybody else as a place that you can visit on weekends and get a beer in the brewery and sit by the plum tree and watch the hills and listen to chickens and you know, farm animals around you and just enjoy that sounds and enjoy that landscape, you know.
Finally, you've taken a massive leap of faith by selling your apartment, by starting this business and working through the obstacles to get to where you are, to try and get to that dream that you've been dreaming for so many years. If you had to give one piece of advice to anybody listening to this podcast, especially here in Bosnia and Herzegovina, that has an idea but their parents are saying, you really need faculty, you should be working for the government, and like that, what would that one piece of advice from somebody that's done it, what would that be?
Learn everything that you can learn in your present situation, and you might need it sometimes. And don't be afraid to try new things. Don't stick around just in one little spot, one little place, one little job. Go outside, talk to different people, go to different environments, see how things are going in other areas, in other cities, other countries, other streets. When you think of an idea and you think it might be good, don't be afraid to try to realize it. I mean, if you went to a college to become a dentist for 10 years, I don't know, one day you might come up with another idea that doesn't have any relation to this dentistry at all. Don't be afraid to go in that field, you know, in that area, and to try to do that. Don't be stuck by your current level of education. You can always learn everything and you can master it if you have will to do that. So everything is possible, I believe so.
Some sound advice from Nikola Galic, the owner of the Gorstak micro brewery in Glamočani, a small village between Laktaši and Banja Luka in the north of Bosnia and Herzegovina. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe to the podcast. You can find out how to do that through your normal podcast catcher, or you can find us on iTunes. But wherever you do find us, if you could leave a review, that'd be great, because it means the podcast is more searchable by people looking for content from here in the Western Balkans. And until next time, please like, share and subscribe. Do join our Patreon community. It is really, really nice. It's a great group of people, and you get exclusive access to content we produce on the blog, the vlog, and of course here on the podcast. Until next time, please stay safe wherever you are.
To find out more about us and where we live, why not check out our blog at anenglishmaninthebalkans.com. See you next time.
And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.